Let's talk about NATO.
It's the military and political alliance set up by the West after World War II in response to the Soviet Union's growing power.
We will now proceed to the signing of the North Atlantic Treaty.
More than 70 years later, with Russia's invasion of Ukraine, people are now talking about a new Cold War. And NATO's purpose seems to have come full circle.
We face the most serious security crisis in a generation, and therefore NATO needs to respond.
Right now, NATO's focus is on its Eastern Front. It's sending more soldiers and equipment to countries like Lithuania, where we are.
We're here to see exactly what NATO is doing.
It's a bit of a bumpy ride, but they're taking us to a place where some reinforcements have just arrived.
We'll find out why Lithuanians feel vulnerable when it comes to Russia, and why NATO's strategy now seems to be catching up with how people here see things.
Right, let's go through some NATO basics to start us off. NATO stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And at its core is this idea of collective defense. Basically, an attack against one member is seen as an attack against all of them. If you've heard of Article 5, that's essentially what it says. Now, NATO started off in 1949 with just 12 members. Today, it's got 30. And the US has always been the biggest military power. But there's also the UK, most of Europe, and Turkey. Lithuania joined in 2004, along with six other countries. Either all of them had been part of the Soviet Union at one point, or within its sphere of influence.
The door to NATO will remain open until the whole of Europe is united in freedom and in peace.
I think there was a lot of euphoria after 2004, at least here in the Baltic states. It seemed like the end of the Cold War brought a lasting peace to the European continent. Of course, the relationship with Russia was becoming increasingly complicated.
Back then, Vladimir Putin had only been president for a few years, but his worldview and ambitions to restore Russia as a global power were becoming clearer. This speech was a pretty big clue.
Крушение Советского Союза было крупнейшей геополитической катастрофой века.
So Putin was watching all these countries that had all been part of the Soviet space signing up to NATO, and he saw it as a major threat. He accused NATO of breaking a promise to never expand eastward, but NATO says there was no promise. It goes back to 1990 and a conversation between the US Secretary of State and the leader of the Soviet Union over the status of a unified Germany. Historians are still debating what was or wasn't said and what it all meant. There have been other critics of NATO's eastern expansion too, and not only on the Russian side. George Kennan was a top US diplomat who shaped US policy against the Soviet Union during the Cold War. In 1998, he told the New York Times, "I think the Russians will gradually react quite adversely and it will affect their policies. I think it is a tragic mistake. There was no reason for this whatsoever. No one was threatening anybody else." Now, NATO didn't have much of a military presence in the East until after 2014.
What America is officially calling a Russian invasion of Ukraine. Russian troops spreading out throughout the strategic Crimean Peninsula.
After Russia's invasion and annexation of Crimea, NATO decided to send combat forces to the East for the first time. It set up four battle groups, each with around 1,000 soldiers, in Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland. But now, after Russia's most recent invasion of Ukraine, NATO's beefing up those existing battle groups and adding four new ones.
NATO is refocusing back to territorial defense, back to increasing military capacities, personnel, in those eastern flank NATO states.
So this is essentially set up for us, the media, but it's to show us the kind of hardware that's just arrived.
There are radar systems and Stinger air defense missiles, the kind being used by the Ukrainian army. It's basically stuff that helps shoot other stuff out of the sky. That's how one officer put it. More soldiers have arrived too.
We are now up to 1,600, 1,700 soldiers. That means we are reinforced by nearly 500 soldiers right now.
They're part of the 40,000 troops that NATO says are now under its direct command, stationed along its eastern flank. But the Baltic states are saying even those kinds of numbers aren't enough anymore.
Tačiau jie be abejonės nėra pakankami, prašome visų solidarumo ir norėtume, kad Baltijos, kiekvienoje Baltijos valstybėje ir Lenkijoje būtų brigados lygio NATO pajėgos. Ir be abejo atitinkami oro gynybos pajėgumai.
We're going to get back to NATO strategy in a bit. But first, let's understand why Lithuania feels vulnerable to begin with. There's the geography. On one side, Lithuania's got Kaliningrad, a Russian territory that is highly militarized. And on the other is a long border with Russia's close ally, Belarus, which has been a base for Russian forces attacking Ukraine. And then there's the history. Lithuania regained its independence in the early 90s when the Soviet Union collapsed. Before that, it had been a part of the USSR for nearly 50 years.
There aren't really many signs of that era left, but we're going to a place where much of it's been preserved in a theme park.
The Soviet regime was brutal. Massive repressions, massive deportations. About 300,000 people were sent to Gulag, to Siberia.
Do you remember seeing these statues?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. They were a part of my childhood. My grandmother lived in Vilnius, and Lenin was very close to her in the Red Square. But I do remember the moment when he was removed. I was standing there with my father, and my dad said, "That's a huge moment, you know, that's a huge moment." Because the collapse of the Soviet Union in the 1991, that was such a major geopolitical event which started a new era.
That new era put Lithuania on a new path, one that was very different to Russia's under President Putin.
The accession into the EU and NATO was very much seen as a return to so-called the West, broadly speaking, countries united by the same principles of democratic governance and market economy.
Now, if you look at recent polls, Lithuanians overwhelmingly support being part of the European Union and being a member of NATO. Those are some pretty strong signs of just how far the country's moved on from its fairly recent Soviet past.
You just have to look around Vilnius to see how strongly the war in Ukraine resonates with Lithuanians. There are flags everywhere, on balconies, in restaurants, even the buses have messages of support. And some of that comes from a sense of shared history and values.
Our values are very similar. I believe that the Ukrainian people wanted freedom. They wanted fair elections, they wanted democratic institutions, they wanted transparent institutions. And because we share these values and we know how difficult it is sometimes to get those values, we feel like brothers and sisters.
It's like written under our skin what we are talking about.
Because we are really near to Russia, we can feel it.
So there's quite a strong feeling here that they understand the issues around Russia and security better than most. And leaders in this region have been talking about what they see as a Russian threat for a long time now, well before the war in Ukraine.
Vakarų šalių politikai, su kuriais teko bendrauti, dabar mums sako, žinote, jūs buvote teisūs. Tačiau tam teisumui patvirtinti dar mes laukiame konkrečių veiksmų.
And NATO is now rethinking its strategy in a big way. Right now, its battle groups in the east serve as what's called a tripwire defense, basically enough soldiers to slow down an invading army, but nowhere near enough to defeat it. So they're talking about a new plan, NATO Secretary General is calling it a reset, moving away from tripwire deterrence to something more about denial or defense. What he means is a much bigger force, one that would be capable of taking on an invading army. And on top of that, Sweden and Finland are now thinking seriously about joining NATO too. They've both been neutral for decades, and Finland joining would double the length of NATO's border with Russia. It's another example of how the war in Ukraine has shifted things, and not in a way that President Putin wants.
We're just outside the Russian embassy in Vilnius, and just look at the messages people are sending the Kremlin. This reads, Putin, The Hague is waiting. That says glory to Ukraine. They've even renamed this street Ukrainian Hero Street. Now, whatever plan Putin had in Ukraine, this overwhelming pro-Ukrainian, anti-Russian sentiment probably wasn't part of it. And the same goes for NATO. Putin has given this Western military alliance new purpose and an even stronger foothold in what he considers to be his backyard.